Last week, I talked about just having a fresh vision, a fresh revelation of God, really, of the holiness of God. And usually when we begin to, and I just kind of the essence of what I shared last week is, usually when we begin to compromise in our lives, and it's because it's been a long time since we've had a fresh vision of God. Because when you have a fresh vision of God, you see him in the beauty of his holiness. And it automatically awakens desire to live a holy life. It really, really does. And so the first thing is we just, man, God, I want to live a godly life. I want to live a holy life. Is show me a vision of you and the beauty of your holiness and help keep that vision fresh to me. And one of the greatest ways that you can do that, I mentioned last week, was reading the Bible every day. Every single day, read the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, the holiness of God, the beauty of it is put on display. It's everywhere. I mean, it is everywhere in the Bible. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're like, can you give me a passage or something? I'm like, all of it, really. I mean, just keep reading and you'll see that fresh revelation, that fresh reminder of the value and the beauty of holiness. And it keeps the vision fresh in your heart. And which helps us to stay the course in living a holy life. So this week, I want to just give some practical things about living a holy life. Of course, that is a practical thing. But I just want to start by giving a perfect definition, but it's just what was in my heart. So of holiness. I'm going to give you a definition of holiness. When I think of holiness, personal holiness, I think about aligning. It's to align my entire being with God. I don't just think of a list of do's, and I don't just think of a list of don'ts. I think of being fully aligned, 100% of me, fully aligned with God. And it's about union, really. And this is what I found. It's like I want my thoughts to be what he's thinking. I want to think his thoughts. I want to be saying the things that he is saying. I want to align my words. I want to align my thoughts. I want my time to be invested in the things that he thinks is valuable. And so it's this quest, like the attitudes, the desires, the things I'm longing for, the dreams of my life, I want it to be aligned with the dreams of his heart. And it's like, to me, holiness, it's this the never-ending quest to get all of who I am, every dream, every desire, every word, everything. I want it to be aligned with him. And holiness is about union. And this is what I find. Holiness is the greater my alignment with him, the greater the pleasure I have in life. Holiness truly is a life of pleasure. And it's the most joyful lifestyle. And, you know, I'm just going to read two scriptures here. Jesus says, blessed. Everybody say blessed. Okay. Blessed are those, listen to this, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, the word blessed, it's in the eight Beatitudes. It's like happy, to be envied. I mean, that's what he means when he's like, oh, man, the person who pursues righteousness, who craves, hungers and thirst, who craves righteousness, oh, they are to be envied. That's a happy person. That is a super blessed person. That's what Jesus is saying right here. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Have you ever been hungry, really hungry? Have you ever been thirsty? I mean, really, really, really thirsty. And it's just, it's what you crave. You have this craving for water. And I think, like, it is healthy. It's actually an indicator of health in our own hearts, in our relationship with the Lord. How strong is your craving for righteousness? How strong do you crave? Do you yearn for, you hunger for righteousness? And when I think of that just practically, I'm like, I want righteousness in every situation, in every conversation. When I'm in a conversation with somebody, I'm like inside, I'm like looking for righteousness in this conversation. And I don't want to go the direction of sin and gossip and slander. I'm like, no. I'm craving righteousness. I want to have an edifying conversation because I want to encounter the Lord. And it, to me, it's like in every situation, where's the righteous path here? Because that's what I'm wanting. That's what I want to take because I love righteousness. It says of Jesus, listen to this statement about Jesus in Hebrews 1:9. It says about him, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. To say that you love righteousness also means that you hate that which is against righteousness. You hate wickedness. Amen? And Jesus, he loves righteousness. I mean, intensely loves righteousness. He hates wickedness. Listen to this. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions, listen to this, by anointing you with the oil of joy. How many of you would like to have an anointing from God on your life poured over you like oil that's called joy? It just causes you to be joyful. And why was Jesus, he's more joyful than all of his companions. He is overflowing with joy. It's like, how did he get that anointing? He chose to love righteousness and hate wickedness. I'm telling you, holiness, the pursuit of holiness, it's not just a duty. It's not just a discipline so I don't get punished. Although that is legit. I love that, and I believe in that. It's called the fear of the Lord. But it doesn't stop there. It may start there, but when you pursue holiness, it ends up in pleasure. It ends up in delight. It's the highest joy in life is when I'm in those seasons where I can't think of one area where I'm in conscious disobedience. It's just like, oh, the pleasure, the joy of the Lord, the communion with the Holy Spirit. It's about union with a holy God. Union is pleasure. So I just want to give you some practical things. I'll just say this too. I just want to make this statement. Then I'm going to give you some practical things. I think so much living in this world, you have a choice really to walk in the flesh or walk in the spirit. Really, all of your choices are you're choosing one or the other. To align with the appetites, the impulses, the cravings of your carnal nature, right? Or to align with the desires of the Spirit. And when you align with the Spirit, that's holiness. Just the choice to, I'm going to align with the Spirit here. And when you align with Him, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Are you guys with me? I mean, all these things, this is what we're talking about when we talk about holiness. It's a choice to walk in the Spirit. It is spiritual pleasure. So I'm going to give you just three practical things about pursuing holiness. And I use the word pursuit of holiness because actually that's biblical. In Hebrews, I think it's 12:14. I don't have it written down. But it says pursue holiness without which no one will see the Lord. That's intense. How many of you know holiness is not optional for somebody who wants to be with God in heaven forever? It's one of the main takeaways I got from the Brownsville Revival was that verse, Hebrews 12:14. Steve Hill used to quote that, the evangelist. He'd be like, pursue holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And I'm like, man, holiness is not an option. Holiness is not extra credit for those who are especially good in the kingdom of heaven. Holiness is baseline 101 kingdom lifestyle. We pursue holiness in the fear of God. Amen. And so pursue holiness. So here's where I'm just going to give you some things. Here's where you can start. I would say stay connected with a healthy fear of God. Just start there. You can write that down. Number one, stay connected with a healthy fear of God. And then right next to that, in parentheses, you can write, obey the obvious. Obey the obvious. Here's what I mean by that. I mean, if you just want a starting point with, like, how do I live? What does it look like to live a holy life? It's like, just start with the obvious, like the Ten Commandments. You guys with me? Yeah, don't kill, don't steal, don't covet, don't commit adultery, don't worship idols. I mean, just the basics. Here's a scripture in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. I could have picked, there is a number of these verses in the New Testament, by the way. And because I think sometimes, you know, people can miss the obvious. I'm just such a big proponent for reading the whole Bible all the time. If you just read the Bible, like the whole Bible, you know, just read it all the time. And what happens is over the course of years, there's this obvious, it's like, okay, like when I disobey, it's always bad, right? And when I obey, it may be rough, but it's always going to end up good in the end. I'll be blessed. You guys with me? And it's just so simple when you read the message of the Bible. But Paul says this, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, which is witchcraft, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, that's like temper tantrums or fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. All those things are sins, by the way. Listen, I want to read the last statement, but first I want to just say this. There is a false grace message that is permeating the body of Christ, in at least in the Western world, in the United States of America, where it's like they teach on the grace of God and they use the things, phrases, even talking about intimacy with God and all these kind of things. And we love power encounters with the Holy Spirit, but they minimize sin like sexual immorality, envy, selfish ambition, you know, all these things that are listed in here, but they minimize it. And I'm all for the intimacy with God, the love. I'm not against that. But what I'm saying is, if you really want to have intimacy with God, if you really want to walk in the power of God, you had better be committed to living a holy life. Woe to the person who wants to go to the great depths of the power of God and leaves holiness behind. That does never, ever work out good for that person. You read it in the Bible, it's not good. You know, for the person who's greatly anointed with power, but man, the accountability in holiness. If God puts his glory on you, you want to make sure you're aligned. I'm just going to say that. But Paul says this, let me tell you again, as I have before. In other words, he's like, I've told you this so many times, guys, that anyone living that sort of life, listen, will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care what kind of experiences you've had with Jesus. I don't care how many people have gotten healed. Would you pray for me? Them, that doesn't impress me at all, to be honest with you. I've known plenty of people that have claimed to move in the anointing and maybe have, that I was super unimpressed with their life, because they were living in open compromise. I don't care how strong your prophetic gift is. There's a baseline measure of holiness that's obvious in the scripture. And we start there. I want to live a holy life. I'm not going to tolerate sexual immorality in my life. I'm not going to tolerate pride in my life. It's not to say that it won't pop up. It pops up in my life all the time. But when it pops up, I shoot it. You guys with me? When it pops up, I'm at war against it. I don't tolerate it and make excuses why it's okay to have this in my life and then infect everybody else with my deception. You guys with me? It's like we pursue holiness out of the fear of the Lord. So I'd say start there to begin with. You know, I'm never impressed when I mingle with people in the body of Christ, you know, and if they go on and on and on about glory stories, but they're just living in open sin. And I'm just like, I don't care about any of your stories. And I don't want what you have. I really don't. I want the kingdom of God. I want God. I want Jesus. I'm telling you what. I'll just go on. So I'd say do the fundamentals well, obey the obvious. This is where you start. Stay mindful of the consequences of willful, persistent disobedience. I actually grieve in my heart over the measure of open sin that's in the church, even in our church at times. It's one of the hardest things about being a pastor is just seeing like people not obeying the obvious and thinking that they're getting away with something. And I'm just like, who do you think you're tricking? I mean, God is like everywhere. He knows everything. It's like this, there's a lack of the fear of the Lord that's grievous to my heart. It really is. It grieves my heart. All right. I'm going to go to the next one. Make the great commandment your greatest goal in life. That's the next practical thing. Make the great commandment your greatest goal in life. And I started with, I do this one. You know, it seems like it should be first, but I wanted to do the other one first because sometimes people, they get into this definition of loving God. The great commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And sometimes they're like, they talk about loving God, but somehow their definition of loving God, the pursuit of a holy life, is not included in their definition. And that's why I started with the first thing I started with. It's like, you know, let's start with the obvious, right? I mean, if you're going to start in math, you know, you start with 1 + 1 = 2. Well, let's not go past that and think we know a lot because we, whatever. So do the obvious. You got to obey God. So, but then make the great commandment your greatest goal in life. If loving God is your greatest goal in life, I just want you to think this through with me. And you make that your greatest goal in life. That means not just like, at the end of my life, I want to have loved God with all my heart. You know, if it's your greatest goal in life, it has to be your greatest goal in the next hour. And then the hour after that, you continue to make it your greatest goal. And the hour after that, your greatest goal. And the next day, it's your greatest goal. Today, how do I love you in this situation? How do I love you with my money? How do I love you with my time? How do I love you in my conversations and in my relationships? How do I love you in all these practical things I'm doing in the next hour? And a person who does that hour after hour, day after day after day, by the end of their life, they've got this whole life of an offering to give to the Lord and say, I have loved you with all my heart, with all my time, with all my everything. I have sought to love you. And none of us does that perfectly, but we should aim at it. You guys with me? And when we fall short and we have a bad 2 hours, I didn't love God with all my heart that last 2 hours. You just realign. I repent. This next hour is a do-over. The blood cleanses me, and now I'm going to love him with all my heart in this hour. I had a bad week. I had a bad day. You repent and you realign. And that's what it looks like to love God with all your heart. So here's practically what that looks like in the pursuit of holiness. And I want this to be practical, but ask yourself this question. Everything, your activity you're doing, the music you're listening to, the movies, the entertainment, the things that you look at on the internet, the posts that you make on whatever, the companions you choose to spend your time with, the conversations you have, the activities you do, does this enhance my love for Jesus or does it diminish my love for Jesus? That's so practical. That's so practical. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Then in 1 Corinthians 10:23, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. He repeats the same thing. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Isn't that good? It's like, okay, it's like, yeah, I have freedom in Christ, you know, for like when it comes to movies, and that's a huge deal. When it comes to how I celebrate my holidays, on and on and on. It's like, I have freedom. I have liberty, right? I can, if it's not expressly forbidden in the scripture, then I have permission to do it. You guys with me? So somebody would say, is it a sin to watch a movie? No, it's not a sin to watch a movie. You can't show me a Bible verse that says thou shalt not watch a movie. Okay? You also, and it, well, is it a sin to watch rated R movies? No. I'm talking as a general rule. Because there's no verse that says thou shalt watch movies only if they are PG-13 or under. Right? It's not there in the Bible. Okay? And so it's like, okay, so I have liberty then. I can watch movies, but it still could be a sin. And this is how what holiness looks like practically. We have to work through how does this activity affect my heart? How is it affecting my fellowship with the Holy Spirit? How does it affect my relationships with other people? How does it affect my thought life? Because, you know, somebody could watch a movie and it's stirring up lust inside of you. Now it's a sin. You good with me? Or you're watching a movie and it's like it's stirring up anger inside of you. Now it's a sin. Make loving God your greatest goal. How does this, is this helping me achieve my greatest goal, which is loving God? Or do I have to overcome this? Is it hindering me from achieving my greatest goal and loving God? I think so many people, they have believers have a dull spirit. They don't pay attention. They don't pay attention to detail in their life. They don't pay attention to the stuff they listen to and the stuff they watch. And man, I promise you, it's affecting you somehow. Now, there's things that I watch that actually build me up in my walk with the Lord. You know, I've had many times where God has spoken to me through a movie, and He inspires me. He stirs up my faith, and I'm like, oh yes, and I love it. I come away from it like feeling a stirring of the Spirit inside of me. That's good. You guys with me? But then there's other things I've watched where I knew that the Spirit was grieved that I was watching it. And I would say not only the things we watch and the things we listen to, but the companions that we choose to hang out with. And I just want to talk about that for a second. Listen to this. Your choice of companions is an expression of your love for God. I'll say that again. Your choice of companions is an expression of your love for God, and I would say also your love for righteousness. Now, there are times when we don't have a choice of our companions. You know, you work at a certain place. There's people who work right next to you. You have to interact with them. That's like you don't have a choice on that, right? But still, you want to live holy in those relationships. You guys with me? But then there's a lot of times we do have choices on who we hang out with, who we choose to spend the bulk of our time with. I want to read a couple psalms to you. Not the whole psalm, but just a few verses out of the psalm. Psalm, listen to this, Psalm 26. This is David, a man after God's own heart. And this is what he said in Psalm 26. He says, he's talking about living a life of integrity in this psalm. That's the context, living a life of holiness and integrity. And right in the middle of it, he says, I do not spend time with liars or go along with hypocrites. I hate the gatherings. Listen to this. I hate the gatherings of those who do evil, and I refuse to join in with the wicked. It's actually an expression of his love for God. He's talking to the Lord, and he's like, I love you so much that when those people having those bad conversations, doing those sinful things that are not good and they're not pleasing to you, and I avoid them. I don't even go near them. I don't join in with them. I don't want to be around them when they're sitting here using filthy language. I want to be around them when they're doing drugs. I don't want to be around them when they're drinking. I don't want to be around them when they're talking lustful conversations. I don't want to be around them when they're gossiping about the pastor or the president or the teacher or the boss or the coach, and they're complaining. And there's like, I don't want to be around sinful people doing their sinful things because I love you. I'm set apart for your pleasure, and I don't want to fill my mind with the junk that comes with being with those people. Now, obviously, we are called to go to the lost and make disciples and preach the gospel, which I love doing. Amen? I mean, I'm passionate about that. You guys know that. So it's not that I am, like, avoiding all contact with lost people, but I'm strategic about my contact with lost people. I'm around them to influence them. I am not hanging out with them for when they're indulging in sinful pleasures, just to hang out with them. If I'm there, I'm there on mission, and I'm there with purpose. Otherwise, I have no desire to be there. I remember a story when I was my first year of college, and I went to a secular college. I was on youth staff at my youth group at my church, so I was like one of the leaders in my youth group. And there were a bunch of us, like young adult, college age, who were on youth staff. And we all love the Lord, truly. I mean, we love the Lord. But I remember one time a group of them, we lived down in Alabama. It was like maybe a 3-hour drive to New Orleans. And it was like a Saturday or something. And they're like, hey, you know, let's just go to New Orleans for a day and just have fun, you know, on a Saturday. So they go, I wasn't there. I found out about it later. They went to New Orleans and they get there and they're like, what do you do in New Orleans? They're like, well, what's famous? You know, let's go down Bourbon Street, right? Because it's famous. It's like, isn't that what you're supposed to do when you go to New Orleans? And so they go and they're just kind of walking along Bourbon Street. Here's the problem. Bourbon Street is a den of iniquity. It's strip bars, tarot card reading, gay bar. I mean, this is all this. It's like there's nothing good down there. But they're just doing it because it's like it's the tourism thing to do. That's the devil. I'm telling you that. That's how I feel about Las Vegas, too, by the way. And so they're walking down the street, all believers, right? And they're just walking down the road, and they see this evangelist who's there preaching the gospel. I think he's handing out tracts maybe or something. And they're like, oh, cool, a believer. So they go up to him, and they're like, hi, or I can't remember, maybe he came up to them, but somehow they're talking to him, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're Christians, too. We love the Lord. And he just looks at him. He's like, then why are you here? They're not there on mission. They were just there to take it in. Why? Why? What are you taking in? And he's like, why are you here? And my friend was telling me this afterwards. She was like, he just asked that question. And we were so convicted. We were just like, because it was just like blinders got pulled off their eyes and they saw the foolishness. And they're like, he's right. Why are we here? Why did we drive 3 hours to spend our free time hanging around stuff that is demonic and evil and sinful? Why? We are God's holy people. She was sharing this later. She was so thankful for that guy, actually. She was like, I'm so glad he was there. It was good for us. It was a wake-up call for us. But your companions, you choose your companions, and bad company corrupts good character is what the Bible says. And so when you're around ungodly people, you need to be there on mission to make impact, or don't be there. Or don't be there. And I love this. David also says in Psalm 16, but this is like a theme in the Psalms, by the way. They get talking about living for God, and they start talking about their companions. And then he says this, Psalm 16. The godly people in the land are my true heroes. Isn't that good? I take pleasure in them. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood or even speak the names of their gods. He's like, I am not going to be hanging out with those people, participating with them in their ungodly conversations. I'm not going to be doing it. He says, well, I'm not just going to be an island to myself because God made us for fellowship. You know what he says? The godly people, they're my heroes. That's what he says. The godly people in the land. I seek out the godly people. If I'm in a work environment, God, is there even one righteous person here? Or at least the most righteous out of them all. If I have to be with somebody, I'm pursuing that one. Why? Because blessed are those who hunger and thirst for right. They're seeking the righteous option in the environment. Our companions and who we choose to hang out with, a lot of times will actually reveal what we're really longing for in our heart. Sometimes, you know, we were like, hey, I want to live a holy life, but then we kind of like secretly like this stuff. So we just kind of get as close to it as we can, thinking I'll just get close to it as I can without actually dabbling too much in it. And that will not work. I promise you, you'll end up diving in to it. It's just the way it works. Bad company corrupts good character. You could say, oh, Pastor Jeff, you're just so old-fashioned, you're old soul. This is the Bible. I just quoted you Bible verses. Call it old-fashioned if you want to, but I'm going to tell you this. One day, all the trendy mindsets will all fade away, and the last thing standing, the Word of God, will stand forever. And so I'm going to build my life on what he says and not really care that much about what people say about it because I'm not living for them, I'm living for him. And again, I'm emphasizing one side of this right now. But I could also emphasize that, man, we need to go to lost people. We need to be a light. We need to share the gospel. And we need to do both at the same time. Because here's the deal. If it's like, well, I want to influence these people, you know, how am I going to influence them if I don't have a relationship with them? That's like one train of thought out there. And I think there can be some merit to that, but here's the problem. If when you're around them, you're compromising, you're not shining the light of Jesus anyway. You guys with me? And so it's like, well, you know, I don't know, can I be with that person or not? And here's a good guiding principle. If being around them you're able to be around them and be strong in the Lord and not compromise, then be around them and shine. But if you're around them and you're just being pulled and you're getting weakened and you're being pulled into compromise, get away. Or be very strategic and minimal about the time you spend. You know, in, be a light, shine, do whatever you do, and then... Because it's like this. My stepdad was in the Coast Guard, and he used to be a rescue swimmer at one point in his career. So they would be on the boat, the person would be in the ocean or whatever it is, drowning. And he would actually tell me this. They'd be panicking and they, because they're drowning, right? They're panicking, they're freaking out. And like they're trained, just like you don't, a person who's panicking and going to rescue them, you don't go in there when they're freaking out, panicking, because they have this like abnormal strength because of their fear and adrenaline that's happening right then. And a lot of times they'll pull you down with them and then you don't help anybody. You guys with me? And so he would actually say this. I don't know if he actually ever did this or not, but they talked about sometimes you'd go up, you just punch them. Like if they're like that, you just like punch them and it stuns them. And then you're able to grab them and be like, okay, calm down. I got you. But I don't know if that ever happened. I'm not advocating that kind of punching evangelism. I'm just illustrating the point that if you go in there to rescue them, but they end up pulling you down with them in their sin, you've not helped them and you've hurt yourself. And by you stumbling and falling into sin, now you've negatively affected your children and all those around you who love you, who were looking to you as a godly example. You got to do whatever you got to do to stand. Amen. Okay, last point. Stay in communion with the Holy Spirit. I alluded to this already, but I think it's the best. It's the way that we were designed as believers, but to live a holy life, the best way is stay in communion, pay attention to the Holy Spirit and His presence, and make it your goal to live in constant companionship with Him, because He will alert you. He will alert you when you're getting into things that are defiling, sinful things. And, you know, my goal in life, I want to do everything with Him. Amen? Everything with Him. And if there's any activity that I can't do with Him, okay, so I like to play sports. But when I do it, I want to do it with Him. I want to actually enjoy Him. I've had lots of times where I'm playing ball and I'm out there in the middle of a game and just actually enjoying the presence of the Lord while I'm playing. Just being at my position and just being like, this is so fun. Thank you for giving me health. Thank you that I can run. You know, thank you that I can do this. Thank you for the having friends like this that we can compete and do games like this. Thank you, Lord. And I'm in a place of communion with the Holy Spirit. And so I want to do these things with Him. But if there's any activity that I'm doing that I can't do with Him because He's holy and He won't do it, then I should not be doing it either. You guys with me? So I just like pray and worship God in the midst of what you're doing. And if you're like, I feel like a hypocrite doing this. Like if I were to stop right now and say, Jesus, I love you. I am yours. I am all in for you. And I feel like I couldn't say that to Him because I'd be a hypocrite. Then you shouldn't be doing it. And you can express worship to Him by stopping it right now. Just stop it right now and repent and say, God, I'm done. Forgive me. I love you. I'm all in. And you can do it. It can take 5 seconds. You guys with me? But it's like paying attention to His presence is one of the best ways to learn the difference between holiness and what is unholy. A prayer that I like to pray over my children and over myself, my wife as well. But I'm like, God, help us to give us a wise and discerning heart to know the difference between good and evil. What you call good and what you call evil, and help us to be excellent. You know that scripture, be excellent in what is good and innocent of evil? You guys heard that scripture? Think about that. Like, help me to know the difference and then give me the courage to excel in what you call good. I'm going to give myself to it. Oh, you like this? I'm going to give myself to it. I'm going to become great at this with your help. But I'm going to be innocent of what you call evil. I'm not going to touch it. I want nothing to do with it. And if there's people that are doing that all the time, I'm not going to be hanging out with them because I do not want to touch what you call evil. I want to be excellent at what you call good and innocent of what you call evil. And one of the best ways to learn that is, I would just say this, if you want to grow in the gift of discernment, start by obeying the obvious, like I talked about in point number one. Just acknowledge what the Bible calls good and sexual immorality is bad. Right? On and on and on. Drunkenness is bad. Okay? Just agree with what you know, and then you'll grow in knowing more. Okay? And so I remember if you'll pay attention to the Spirit, practice the presence of God, you'll learn there's things you'll do that make him really happy. And you can tell. How many of you, you've had that before, where when you're doing something or somebody says something and you feel like your spirit just get happy inside? And it's the Lord. And I've had that happen. That's one of my indicators. Like, ooh, that's the Lord right there. He just got happy. Okay, this is a really bad illustration. But I actually think it's effective. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit is a dog, okay? He's not our pet. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, you know how you have like a dog? You have like a pet dog. And you walk around, and you can tell when something makes him upset. Right? And then you can also tell when something makes him happy. Tail's wagging. He's happy. You got that happy look in his eyes, and you're like, oh, he likes it. Do you like that? You know, give him another treat. Whatever it is, right? It's like, you know. And I he's not our pet, the Holy Spirit. But I'm talking about, we need to learn to, he is a person who has a personality and he has emotions, and we need to learn to pay attention to him and then govern our behavior according to what makes him happy and what makes him upset. And if there's something you're doing, you can just tell, like, oh, he likes that. Do more of it, right? It's like, awesome, he likes that. Because here's the deal. If he likes it, you'll like it. I mean, if he feels happiness and pleasure and joy, you're going to be feeling happiness, pleasure, and joy. So it's like, yeah, let's do more of that. That's awesome. But if he doesn't like it, don't do it. So I remember one time, you know, like, I could tell you so many illustrations of this, but a friend and I, this is when I was in Bible college, we were having a conversation because we were experiencing the Holy Spirit in a fresh way, and tons of people on our campus were experiencing the Holy Spirit in a fresh way. And Holy Spirit, that makes him happy. And so we're in the hallway, just a random conversation. We see each other. And we just start talking and testifying about things that God had just done. He's like, oh, man. And then God showed me this, or God touched this person. And we're just talking about what God is doing. And as we're testifying, the presence of God just started going up. It's like, oh, he's getting happy. He likes it when we talk about the things he does and give him glory for it. And we just kept talking and testifying, and it was awesome. And then all of a sudden, like, the Spirit is manifesting in us in a powerful way. I mean, we're just like a random conversation in the hallway. All of a sudden, we're in a full-blown encounter with God just by talking and testifying about what God is doing. And we're just talking about it, and my friend, he's feeling the presence of God, and it's like, oh my goodness, this is awesome. And then somehow our conversation shifts from talking about, look at all the awesome things God is doing, to, man, what's wrong with all those people who are so critical of what the Holy Spirit is doing? Don't they know that this is God? Like, what's their problem? How can they're spiritually blind. That's what it is. And we all of a sudden, we shifted into slander and gossip. And somewhere in that conversation, it shifted. I didn't even fully realize what was happening. But all of a sudden, it's like I became aware, like, hey, where did the Holy Spirit go? Like, he was so strong just a few minutes ago. I mean, I was so aware of him. And all of a sudden, he's like, took off. I'm like, what happened to him? Where'd he go? Ephesians 4, I think it's 29 through 30. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, so that it will benefit those who listen. Listen to the next verse. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That's what happened. Is all of a sudden my conversation went from a righteous conversation that made him happy, and it shifted into a sinful conversation. And he was like, whoop. And that was a learning moment for me. I'm like, okay, you know what? I want your presence. I want to do what's right. So you know what? I'm not going to slander people. It's how we learn right from wrong. So I'll sum up my 3 points, and then I'm going to just be done. The pursuit of holiness is it's to align every aspect of who we are with God. It's union. It's about union. It's the greatest pleasure. And just practical things. Where do I begin in my pursuit of holiness? How do I get started? Obey the obvious of Scripture. You know, when it says something is right, agree with God. Yep, it's right. If it says in the Bible it's wrong, agree with God. It's wrong. And then, I mean, that's pretty simple, right? Just start there. But then number two, seek to love God as the greatest goal in your life and ask yourself about your companions and your activities and your words and your movies and the things you're doing. It's like, does this enhance or diminish my love for the Lord? Okay? And then number three is pay attention to the Holy Spirit. If it makes him happy, keep doing it. If it doesn't, if it grieves him, stop doing it. And this is how we grow in discernment. It's how we grow in wisdom, and it's how we grow in holiness. And it's a lifelong endeavor. And I want to just end by exhorting you with this. I see a lot of believers who they pursue holiness to a certain level, and then they plateau. It's like, okay, I'm free from the drugs. I'm free from sexual immorality. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not swearing anymore and using bad words. I'm okay. Now this is good. I fit in great with the American Christian world now. And so everything's good. And then they level off, but the Holy Spirit's never done. Because what happened is he's always dealing, like, more things come up. Attitudes, fear, insecurity, selfish ambition, unbelief, pride, on and on and on, bitterness. You know, these things come up in our heart, and it's like war against those things. Those sinful attitudes many times are the root of the sinful actions. And he's like, no, I'm going all the way to your core. I'm going to conform all of you to the likeness of Jesus. Amen? And so I want to say, never level off. Keep moving with the Spirit. It doesn't mean you have to become introspective and say, there's something wrong with me. And then somebody say, what? I know there is. There's always something wrong with me. That's not the Lord. That's a wrong attitude. I'm going to talk about that maybe next week, pursuing it with the right mentality. It's in grace and in the love of God. Like, I love who I am, truly. I love who I am in the Lord because the Lord loves me, but I'm like extremely honest about sin in my life. Like, when he brings it up, I'm like, I agree. let's fix this. And I'm pursuing the breakthrough. And other people could look at me and say, oh, Pastor Jeff, you know, he's Pastor Jeff. He's a pastor and he's such a godly person. But you know what? It's like, I'm not living for that. Because at the judgment, he knows all things. And he's going to be, how did you respond to my Spirit when I dealt with your pride, when I dealt with this attitude over here? He's like, you did good when you responded to my Spirit telling you to quit being drunk and leave the immorality and the pornography. Good job, okay? But then why did you stop obeying my Spirit when I continued and I started talking about attitudes? And many people make the mistake. They're like, well, you know, it's not as big of a deal as these other things. It is to him. Therefore, it should be to us, right? Because life is not about like attaining some level of awesomeness in the eyes of people. That's worthless. Literally, it's truly worthless. Life is about worship. Life is about, I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And because I love you, I want to live before your eyes and for your pleasure and for your glory. So if you're telling me to deal with something, I'm going to say yes, and we're going to partner together, and you're going to have a smile on your face. I'm going to have a smile on mine, maybe some tears too, and we're going to work together, and I'm going to overcome this thing because I have a grace to do it. Amen? Done. So, Lord, I pray, God, we recommit to the joyful pursuit of holiness. God, purge the sin out of our life. Get the compromise out. I'm going to have my wife come up. Actually, Autumn, I want you to share that dream. Can you share that dream? Yeah. I want you to listen to this. Autumn had a dream from the Lord just recently. It's about our church. It was for our church. And so I want you to share it.
It's for all people, everywhere, always. Anyone watching on the video even. Yeah.
I don't want you to say it's for those churches.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he gave it to us.
I'm not
yep.
worried about us.
Right, yeah. Right. So I had a really short dream a few weeks ago. And in this dream, I came up to a young man and I looked him in the face and I said, whatever you do, don't compromise. And I just kept saying it over and over again, don't compromise, don't compromise. And just whatever you do, be careful, do not compromise. And then I looked down and I saw these two little inchworms, almost like what you would see like in a cartoon. They were like colorful, like pastel colors, like maybe like Easter green and pink, you know, and they were inching their way along and they almost looked, I mean, they were worms, but they almost looked cute because of just the way they moved and wiggled and kind of exaggerated in their color was really like cute. But then this little girl, like 3-year-old girl, she came over and she grabbed the worms and she put them in her mouth. And as soon as she put them in her mouth, they were like wiggling. And all of a sudden they started multiplying and growing like super long. They were still like these pastel colors, which would look like, like, oh, is this safe or innocent? You know, but as they grew longer, they began to, this is gross, guys. I'm sorry. The Lord was saying something. They began to reach up and like go into her ears. And they were kind of go into her eyes and up her nose. And I was like, oh, horrified. And it was a really short dream. When I woke up, I just felt like the Lord was saying, this is what compromise is like. Like, do not compromise. And it can look innocent. I mean, our compromise can look innocent at first. A little slip of the speech. And we, if we're like, it's not that big of a deal. Because nobody else maybe is going to correct you on it. Or, you know, it's a little slip in our habits that are maybe destructive. But at first, you know, just big destructive habits start as small destructive habits. I mean, a lot of times. I mean, a person caught in alcoholism that's an absolute drunk, a lot of times it starts with like an innocent drink, right? Innocent, so to speak. So, I mean, anyway, so I had told that to our leadership team this morning. I've been sitting on it for a few weeks and just praying God over myself, but also praying over our church. Like, God, help us just not be okay with compromise and to not wink at it or think some compromise is kind of like these, you know, little pink worms, not that big a deal until you stick it in your mouth. And that thing grows and all of a sudden wants to take over how we hear the Lord, how we see, and just, you know, it affects everything. Yeah. Do you want me to pray on that or do you want me just to end? Let's stand up. We'll just, do you have anything else after this? Or? Okay, let's end with this. Let's just respond to the Lord because it is it's actually really serious, compromise is. Lord, God, we just come before you. God, we thank you that you just, like that you released that dream even a few weeks ago. And Lord, as a body, we just say, we're going to take it serious. We're going to take compromise serious. We don't want it in our lives, Lord. We want our speech to be like holy. We want what we see to be holy. We want, you know, how we talk about others to be holy, to be right, Lord. And God, we just say that we care about the things that you care about. Lord, I pray you'd help us to not take the bait, so to speak, not to pick up something, to pick up a compromise that seems innocent and let it grow in us and destroy us. But Lord, I pray, Father, instead you'd help us to war against all things that grieve your heart, Lord. And God, give us a sensitive, like, just break off any desensitization that we have, Lord. I pray you'd make us sensitive to Holy Spirit. Make us sensitive to the things you love and the things that don't bring you glory and that you died to rid from our lives, Lord. And Father, we want to take those things very serious. Lord, we see you looking us in the face and saying, don't compromise. Don't do it. We see you doing that through that dream. And we say, yes, Lord, help us. Help us to not compromise and to live like a free, joyful, anointed, holy life before you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. God bless. Love you guys so much. See you next week.